to be in your presence, to hear your word, to worship you, to dance in your presence, and to just have a great time with you. We ask, oh God, that let this time of hearing your voice and hearing your word be a time that we will never forget. Let it be a time that will bring change, a time that will bring instruction, a time that will bring transformation. Let your spirit take charge of the atmosphere. Let everyone here gathered be blessed. Let everyone gathered here be anointed. Let everyone gathered here be delivered. Let everyone gathered here be healed. Let everyone gathered here be touched. Let everyone gathered here receive a change of heart. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful. And then put your hands together for yourself, for being able to be in church this morning. Clap for yourself. You've done very well. You've done very well. You've done very well. God bless you. Tell somebody, well done. Yeah, well done. You may please take your seats. I want to continue by the grace of God. The series that we started a couple of weeks ago. I am sure what God started last week will continue some time soon, but I want to finish this one and then I'll go back to it, living above the law. Amen. 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 Living above the law. Tell someone, living above the law. I'm going to be going into it very soon, so that we would have Rohi people who will live above the law. We'll have Christians who live above the normal law of things. Amen. So that when your husband looks at you, he will not have a problem with you. When your wife looks at you, she will not have a problem with you. When your employer looks at you, he will not have a problem with you. Or when your employee also looks at you, he will not have a problem with you. Your colleagues will not have a problem with you because you are living above the law. Amen. Only the devil will have a problem with you. And that one is okay. It's allowed. So I want to talk about the storm is over, as you have seen displayed already. But the subject by this morning had changed from, what's it called? Arise and build, to all hands on deck. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. We are talking about rebuilding. We are talking about the storm is over. Now that the storm is over, we need to start building. We need to start rebuilding. We need to start doing something new. We need to change the things that have already been set. Now that the storm is over, there's been a lot of destruction. There's been a lot of mess. A lot of things have gone bad. And it is time for us to rebuild. It's time for us to change. It's time for us to correct. It's time for us to set things in order. Now that the storm is over, maybe the marital storm that you went through is over. Now what is next? Financial storm is over. Now what is next? Educational storm is over. Now what is next? COVID-19 storm is over. What is next? You know, the storm that you have seen this year is over. What is next? You need to prophesy yourself into a season where the storm is over. You know, there are people I have seen who like to feel that they are always in a stormy situation. Anytime you see them, how are you? And you. Every time, it's like every time there's a storm. Every time there's a storm. Pastor. Awarin the M cross. Majatum say ye yida. I mean, it's like, for me, every time I must be in a storm. Every time something must be going bad. How is business? Hey. Since they changed the government, business has never been the same again. Every time there's something negative that is happening, there's a storm that is blowing, there's some weather that is not good, there's your marriage that is not working, there are your children that are not being behaving properly, there's your church that is not working well, there are your pastors that are misbehaving. Every time there's something wrong in your life, And so I believe the Lord told me to tell the church that the storm is over. Begin to operate as if the storm is over. Begin to think about the fact that the storm is over. Begin to operate like the sickness storm is over. The business storm is over. The problems that we have gone through is over. The financial storm is over. All these things that we have gone through are over. They are behind us now. Are you understanding me? So stop living your life as if you are always in one distress or another. Every time there's one distress, today something is wrong, tomorrow, there are people you meet them, you don't even want to talk to them. Because the how are you that you are going to say, it will start a whole funeral. So when you are passing, you just give the person like thumbs up and you continue. You don't want to ask any question because you know that one verse 4. Next with them, Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshizabel, made repairs. So first three, they were building. Then you get to verse 4, they are repairing. You can see that Nehemiah and his people were not building throughout. Neither were they repairing throughout. After the storm has passed, it is time to build and repair. Are you understanding me? It's time to build and repair. It is not everything that must be built. It's not everything that must be repaired. There are things that must be built and there are things that must be repaired. Unfortunately, sometimes how we think and how we operate is that once the storm is over, we must build everything afresh. We must scatter everything and build all over again. Or let's not build, let's just repair the things that have been affected. But I came to tell you, in the times of Nehemiah, when he was building and when he was building the walls, not everything was built. Some things were repaired and some things were built. Next to them, Zadok the son of Bana made repairs. Continue to verse 5. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs. But their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of their Lord. So some were repairing, some were building. Some were repairing, some were building. Number one, build and repair. Build and repair. Build and repair. Build and repair. Some things must be built, others must be repaired. Some things must be built. After the storm, some things in your life must be built. Some things must be repaired. It's not everything that must be built again. And it's not everything that must be repaired. There are certain things in your life now that must be repaired. There are certain things in your life that must be built. You build what's not there and repair what has been shaken. Are you understanding me? So what must be there that is not there is what you build. What is there but has been shaken must be repaired. So don't look at your relationship with your father that has been shaken and say that, you know what, this relationship now, and you're strong, dada, so let me even destroy it and find a new father and build a new relationship. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is not everything that must be built. Some must be repaired. We are people who always look at the thing, how difficult it is, and we say that, you know what, let's leave it. Let's start something new. So the business is too difficult. It's not working the way I want it. Let me leave it and start something new. Meanwhile, that business has only shaken. It has not been destroyed. It was just shaken by the storm. Don't leave it. Don't destroy it. Don't rebuild. Don't rebuild it. Repair it. Repair it. Your marital relationship, it has been shaken by the storm. Don't say that, you know, my wife is not correct or my husband is not correct. I want to leave the marriage and start something new. Repair it. Stay in the marriage and repair it. I'm talking about building and repairing. There are things you must build. There are things you must repair. Your prayer life in this time that you have gone past the storm, your prayer life is gone and you can tell. That is a place that you must build. That prayer life that you have is not prayer life that can be repaired. Build a new prayer life. build a new prayer life. There are things that so you must sit down when you get home, that what in my life must be built and what in my life must be repaired. There are things that, look, relationships must be repaired. Certain relationships must be repaired. Your relationship with God must be repaired. It must be repaired. Your prayer life, build it again. Your evangelism life, build it again. Because it's non-existent. It's gone. It's not as if it is there. For you, for the past 6 months, you have not spoken to anybody about Christ. It is gone. Build it again. Build it again. Build it again. Build it again. There are things that are in your life that must be built, not repaired. And there are others that must be repaired, not built. It's not every aspect of your life that needs building. Because it's not all bad. It's not all bad. No, we have been made to feel that, you know, everything is bad. It's not all bad. There are things that have been remained. There are things that have remained that you can repair. There are things that you can repair. Don't throw your hands in the air and say that, you know, the thing that is gone. I say, let me just leave it. It is laziness. It is laziness. Let me just leave it. Let's start again. Let me go and start a new thing. Let me go and start a new life. Let me go and start. I am offended by the pastor. Let me go and start a new church and a new life somewhere. Let me go and start a new relationship with another church somewhere. It is laziness. It is pride. Sometimes you must drop your pride, drop your laziness, and repair the relationship that has been messed up. Are you understanding me? It must be repaired. Stop saying that the storm is over. The storm is over. Me, as for me and the real church, the storm is over. So I'm going to look for another church and start a new relationship. You don't start new relationships like that. Relationships, especially the great relationships that God gives you, you repair them. You repair them. You repair them. You don't go and say, okay, I've left it. I'm going to build again. I've left my marriage. I'm going to build again. Because pastor said, the storm is over. We must rebuild. No. No, 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 no. Repair the marriage. Repair the marriage. Father, repair the relationship with your children. Repair the relationship with your children. Husband, repair the relationship with your wife. You are in the house. Your wife is not able to talk to you. Whenever she opens her mouth, hey, hey, you are a bushman. Repair the relationship. Repair the relationship. And woman, you too, when your husband is talking, your mouth, cha. You two, shut your mouth small. Repair the relationship. There are a lot of things in our relationship that must be repaired. The way you talk, repair it. The way your humility is not there, repair it. Before you got married, you were so nice. You were lovey-dovey. Every time, I love you, I've missed you, I love you, I've missed you. It was there then. Now, the thing, if they say, I love you, you say, hmm? Repair it, Bushman. Repair it. One married woman was telling me that, pastor, as for me, the thing called I love you, I've never heard it in my house before. I said, who do you live with? So if you are the man or the husband of that woman and you are in this building or you are hearing me on Facebook or on radio, please, repair the relationship. Can I love you to your wife. Repair the relationship. You may have to build your consistent prayer life. Because you have a prayer life, but your prayer life is not consistent. You pray today, you won't pray again till you are almost in an accident. Hey, Jesus! Hey, Radia Buambi, Radia, but that is your prayer. That is an inconsistent prayer life. Build a new consistent prayer life. Build it. Build it. Build a prayer life where every morning you rise up and you begin to pray. Let your wife and your children hear you praying every day. It is a consistent prayer life that you are building. Not the one you have already. The one you have already is gone. Don't even repair it. Build a new one. Build a new one. I said build a new one. Build a new one. Let the people in your house hear your voice. Let people in your area hear your voice. Let them know that this one is a Christian. You wake up in the morning. Let us hear. Father, we worship you this morning. We glorify. We lift up our voice unto you this morning. You alone are God. You alone are great. You alone are wonderful. Thank you for bringing me into a new day. Thank you for not letting me die. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for lifting me up. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the family. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. We are grateful unto you. Let somebody hear you. Build a consistent prayer life. Build a consistent prayer life. Enough of that. Today, hey, today I had a bad dream. Who be protecting me? Then that's all. That's all for the week, for the month. Till another demonic attack comes. Hey, pastor, at the dream that I had, today I want to fast. You are a joker. You are a joker. You are always praying desperate prayers. That's why you don't receive answers. Desperate prayers don't receive answers. Consistent prayers receive answers. You only pray when you are desperate. And when you are desperate, you don't pray prayers of faith. You pray prayers of fear. And the Bible never said, I will answer your prayers of fear. I would answer the prayers of faith. Where is your faith? Anytime you come to God, it's because something is chasing you. And you need immediate action. So something is chasing you and you want to come. You don't have a consistent prayer life. Build it. Build it. I said build it. Tell someone build it. Build a consistent prayer life. Build a new reputation. I remember some years ago when I didn't know the Lord so well. No, I'm lying. I knew the Lord very well at the time. I knew the Lord very well at the time. I was even a pastor at the time. But Ohiani Abrabo N70, when I borrow your money, I want to pay, but I cannot pay. Then one day, one senior friend of mine who was a pastor called me and said, Pastor Emma, you are developing a bad reputation. I said, which one? He says, people are saying that when they give you money, you don't return it. I said, oh, this is a very, very sad thing that I'm hearing. I said, it is not because I don't want to return it. In my heart, I want to return it. But it's just not possible. I just cannot. Because things are hard. The storm was strong at the time. But a time came, the storm started coming down. So I went back to correct all the mistakes. I corrected all the reputational damage that I had created. I had to build a new reputation. I had to go back to the people that I owe and make arrangement that I owe you 10,000. I would be able to pay 1,000 every month over 10 months. Is it okay? He says, yes. I said, okay, we can start. I owe you 500 Ghana. I'll be able to pay 50 Ghana every month. Is it possible? Okay, let's go on. I had to rebuild my reputation. You cannot say that, you know, media said that intermediate me free area, Hanamako baby, Fufra Kostate. It will follow you. Build a new reputation. Build a new reputation. You are a Christian for Christ's sake. Don't walk around as I have spoiled my name in this church, so I'm leaving. I know people in this church who spoiled their name, but they are still in the church and they are building their name again. They are correcting their mistakes. They are making their things right. And now, whenever I see them, I'm very proud. I'm very proud because they are working on their problems. They're working on their mistakes because they had bad reputation. Don't say that my reputation is bad, so I'm leaving. I'm going to start a new thing. Don't go and start any new thing. Build it. Build it. Build it. Stay wherever it is that you are and build the new reputation. Build a new reputation. Stop running away from your debts. Stop running away from your lies. Stop running away from your problems. Stop running away from all the things. Build. 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 Build a new reputation. Build a new name. Build a new name. When they mention your name, they shouldn't say, "Hey, Sakwa no Bembao." That's a bad reputation. Is anybody in the church at all? Today you are very quiet. Today you are very quiet. I don't know why. I'm wondering if I'm preaching to people. I even feel bad that I'm preaching what I'm preaching. Build it. Build it. Don't accept that. As for me, my name is already spelled, so there's nothing I can do about it. Build it. Build a new reputation. Build a new reputation. Say, well, build a new reputation. Valencia, build a new reputation. I'm building a new reputation. If you knew me 5 years ago, when you see me now, you will not be able to compare the two people, because I am building a new reputation. Your reputation that you were a liar should not stay with you. By now, you should be building a new reputation, so that when people talk to you, they would say that, no, this one is not like the person that I used to deal with. This one is a different person. Build a new reputation. Build a new reputation. Build it. It is difficult, but they built it. They built it. Some built, some repaired. It's not everything you repair. Some must be built. And it's not everything you must build. Some you repair. Your reputation, build it. You have messed it up already. You have messed it up too much. Then Christian practices. Christian practices that we don't have, we must build it. Build it. Quiet time is a good Christian practice. You must build it. Build it. After the storm, these are the things that you put in place. Build a good Christian practice. Quiet time, worship, prayer, fasting, evangelism, follow up. Build it. Build it. Build it. Don't say that. That's what me, I don't have anything in my Christian life, so I'm just going to be there. Build it. Build it. Unless you don't have plans of going further with this thing that we are walking in. But if you have plans of living this Christian life for a very long time, then you must make plans to build a good foundation. Build it. Go back to your business. I've talked about spiritual things. I'm talking about physical things. Go back to your business. Build it. Go back to your education. Build it. If you can build it, my pastor told me some long time ago, then he was Pastor Doug. Now he's Bishop Doug. He told me some long time ago, he said, if you can build it, you can have it. If you can build it, you can have it. If you can build the marriage, you can have it. If you can build the church, you can have it. If you can build the house, learn how to build things. Don't run away from things. Don't run away. I'm sure Nehemiah and his people, when they went to see the ruins, the destruction, the walls that were down and the things that were not working, it was scary, it was disappointing, it was a big one for them. Like, hey! No, at the time, Nehemiah was also enjoying his life in a different place, serving a king. So he could have said that, you know what, let me not waste my time. Let me run away from this. Like the way some of us operate. This relationship, the way it's gone, let me run away from it. This marriage, the way it's going, let me run away from it. This church, the way it is, let me run away from it. This A, B, and C, the way it is, let me run away from it. This business, the way it's going, let me run away from it. It is not yet time to run away from it. Build it. Build it. Learn how to build. One of the things that you must learn, a Christian must learn how to do, is to build. Now, I'm not talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about building. Building. Learn how to build. Learn how to build. Very soon, I'll be teaching you how to build. How to build a physical house. Not how to build spiritual things. How to build. Because in your lifetime, you must build. So, why? You must have a house. And you don't have to wait till you are 50 before you have a house. You must be able to move into your own house at 30. Oh, I thought somebody would say amen. Some people are saying that we are too late. Okay, you can move into your own house by 35. Quarter, 40. But latest by 40. And I see many people moving into their own house by 40 in the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be a mansion. It doesn't have to be a castle. It doesn't have to be a house is a house. I said a house is a house. One bedroom with toilet and bath is a house. Are you understanding me?
One room is a house. A kitchen plus a room is a house. Don't let anybody deceive you that as for your house, it must be big, it must have this. How many rooms do you sleep in at a time? You and your wife pay. Now. I see you building a house in Jesus' name. No, I want you to close that thing that it must be 3 bedrooms, there must be boys' quarters, there must be front quarters, there must be porch, there must be backyard, it's your first house. It's your first house. It can be the size of a chop box. It's your first house. Once you become a landlord, you will learn how to build proper. Are you understanding me? Once I can see someone building. I said I can see someone building a house. I feel it in my spirit. I didn't come here to talk about building a house, but I feel like prophesying to you that by the grace of God, before you are 35, before you are 40 years, you will build your house and attempt building a second and a third one. You will build. You will build. You will not be a tenant forever. You will be a landlord. You too, you will build your own house. You will build your own house. The anointing has come upon me to tell you that you will build your house. You will build your house. I said you will build your house. I said you will build your house. As I'm talking about Nehemiah and building of the walls, the Lord says, I should tell you that the same anointing that came upon Nehemiah to build that wall in 52 days, that same anointing is still operating and it will come upon your life and you will build your house, you will build your life, you will build your walls in the name of Jesus. So like I was saying, don't kill yourself. I need to build a 3-bedroom. It must be 3 bedrooms. How many rooms do you sleep in at a time? You and your wife and your 3-month-old baby. Why do you want to build 5 rooms, 4 rooms, 3 rooms? When I started, myself, my wife, 2 children, we built 2 rooms. 2 rooms plus a small kitchen and a hall. The land was 80 by 100. But we built in a space of just this stage, this here. That was the whole house. Or even up to this carpet here. That was the whole house. So the rooms were up to here, and this was corridor. So you step out of your room, you are in the corridor. Then you come to the second room. And the children, are you okay? Fine. Then you enter the kitchen. Hey, is food coming? Fine. Then you enter the hall. We are done. You step out of the house, the whole of the place where you are sitting is sand, mud, dirt. I was land. Are you understanding me? I did not even go into the problem of doing 4-bedroom foundation. I did 2-room foundation like that. You use all your money to do foundation. Then when you finish, you go and sleep on the foundation. And the foundation must be big. It must be strong. Are you building twin towers? Are you building a twin tower? The foundation must be, it must go down. You must put concrete and you must put iron rod. That's why you have not built even one Nkokobuo. Because you have been deceived. That at your age you must build a big house so that your relatives will come. How many times do you receive relatives? You know, you must, when you build, you must have extra room so that when visitors come, as you are there, how many visitors do you receive who want to spend the night? That because of them, you have put your life on hold. You are not going to build. I want to get some money so that I'll build a 3 bedrooms. Me and my wife will take one. My children will take one. Then we'll reserve one for visitors. Which visitors? When the visitor comes, put them in a guest house. 50 Ghana cedis a night. They stay for 3 nights, 150. They are gone. You send them kinke and fish in the afternoon. They won't come again. You understand what I'm saying? No, they won't come again. No, when I built my first house, I don't know what. Can I continue? When I built my first house, it was an embarrassing situation because the bathroom in the children's room, there was no door, and I couldn't buy a door. And I don't have extra room. So if you are a brother and a sister who have come to visit me and you want to stay overnight, that's the place you'll be and that's the bathroom you'll use. So I was told by my mother that one of my siblings said that my house, the setting is very embarrassing, so they cannot come and stay overnight. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because as you are coming to stay overnight, you are bringing me cost. But if the thing is embarrassing, say, Umba. But it's not embarrassing for me. I'm enjoying it. And that is how I save money to build that house, add more to the house. By the time I realized, the house has become a mansion. Very nice one. That is where this church started. That is where that school started. That is where another branch is starting. Are you understanding the message I'm preaching? What I'm telling you is that don't be too worried about the size, the beauty. It must be this and that. Don't worry. The time will come. You will add the size. Have you been worried about putting on weight before? It comes. You rather worry about losing weight. Is that not the case? Yeah, so you build a small house. Don't worry about how the house will put on weight. It will put on weight. It's just a matter of time. You see that you added flowers. By the time you say, okay, let me extend this place more. Let me extend this place more. Let me put some barricade here. Let me put some visor here. Let me put some lights here. By the time you realize, oh, a diner is nice. Oh. A diner is nice, pa. A diner is nice. Then another person who is waiting for big money, who wait for 10 years when you are building your second house. I said, when you are building your second house. You see, that is the first one. It's the first one that is the most difficult. If you are able to push, even ask the women who have had babies. It's the first pregnancy that they are not so sure. What is going to happen? If I'm going to push. After they have done one. Eric, have you been there before? After they have pushed one. You see, and ask the ones who have been fornicating too. The first time it was very difficult for them. What if? When they finish the first one, oh, now. May the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. And ask the ones who have been drinking too. The first one, they were not so sure. But after they went through the first one, am I preaching? So there are things that you must build and there are things that you must repair. Don't go and say that, as for my relationship, I don't want it again. I'm going to build a new one. Don't build any new one. Repair the one. You see, we like running away from issues too much. You like running away from the thing that we must work on. When God blesses you. Is it last week or last 2 weeks I said that the presence of opposition does not mean God is not in it. So when you get opposed, don't say that I want to run away. I want to change my mind. I'm not so sure. I don't think that I thought through this relationship before I came. I don't want the relationship again, because I remember one man that I met in one of the countries that I went to pastor. He wants to leave his wife. He won't find something sensible to tell me. Pastor, I want to leave. I said, why? I think she's too good for me. I think I don't deserve her. And I don't make her happy. So I want to leave her so that she'll be happy. I said, stop talking this nonsense to me. I have said it before. There was a time I wanted to leave a girl. When I left, they asked me why. I said, oh, I'm worrying her. I'm not, I get angry too quickly. I'm very, very loud. And she's a very calm person. So I want to leave so that a better person comes. That was not the truth. I just wanted to be out of that relationship. I needed an excuse. But I couldn't put it on her. So when I went and this man, husband, was telling me all this nonsense. I'm not a good person. I want her free. I want her to be free. I want her to be happy. So as I leave, a better man will come. I said, brother, this one, this trick, I used it about 20 years ago. It's an old trick. It's an old trick. Don't use it. Do you know that? As at a month ago, a few weeks, in fact, 2 days, 3 days ago, I have seen them on their status. Hey, how I love my husband, how I love my wife, how I'm in this. And this story I'm telling you was about 6-7 years ago. I want to leave 7 years ago. Now, Mr. Onjai Sankwasi Asemneka. You should stop talking the nonsense that he's talking. Now, after 7 years, you should see them. I love my wife. I love my husband. Yeah. So for somebody, as you are sitting here, I'm telling you, don't run away from the relationship. Build it. Build it. Unless it's a relationship that is killing you, then run away. But otherwise, build it. So when you get home, decide what must be built, what must be repaired, what must we run away from. Number two, go to verse 8 for me. Let me move quickly and finish quickly. Next to him, Uzziel, the son of Hahiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Goldsmith was used to repair walls. Goldsmith. Goldsmith, who is supposed to be doing ornaments, jewelry, has been turned into a mason. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, was also making repairs. I said, all hands on deck. All hands on deck. And they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. 9. Perfumers were working. Goldsmiths were working. Next to Refaiah, the son of Hur, leader of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Leader was making repairs. Goldsmith was making repairs. Perfumer was making repairs. Leader was making repairs. Jump to verse 32. Sorry, verse 12. Verse 12. All these were male or men. Go to verse 12. You see another thing there. All hands. Nehemiah used everybody. And next to him was Shallum, the son of Haluhesh, leader of half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters made repairs. So even the women were not spared. Everybody, weak, strong, tall, short, fair, dark, every hand was needed to rebuild. For you, you have decided that I will use everything that I have to rebuild my life. I'll just use 30 minutes of my day to rebuild my life. You will never be able to rebuild your life using 30 minutes of your day every day. You will never be able to rebuild. Put everything on the line. Put everything. Your time, your effort, your energy. Every hand, everybody in your life must be on the job. Everybody in your life must be on the job. Your pastor must be on the job. Your shepherd must be on the job. Everybody must be on the job. In rebuilding your life, use every resources that God has brought you. Use every resources. Use everybody. Use everybody. Talk to your pastor. Pastor, this is what I'm going through. How do I go about it? Use him. Use her. Use them. Use your boss. Use your job. Use everybody. Use everybody. Use all hands on deck. God never brought anybody into your life for nothing. Everybody that God puts into your life, there is a purpose and there's a reason. Make sure you put their hands on the job. Make sure you use all the people. The problem we have is that people have been blessed with people, but they don't know the use of the people that God has given them. So they walk around and they are struggling, and all they need to do is to ask one question, and the person in his life will tell you that, oh, when I got to that place, I turned left. But we want to carry the thing. We don't want to open up. We don't want to speak. We don't want to talk. So we carry all the burden. Put to use what God has put in your life. Everybody God brings into your life is there for a reason. Is there for a reason. Get ready. One of these days I'll be calling you for something to do, for you to do. Because you are not here just to warm the chair. You are not here just to make sure that the chair is always warm. You are not here just to make sure that the place is full. You are here for a purpose. There's a reason why God sent you into this church. There's a reason why you are relating with me. There's a reason why I talk with you. There's a reason why you see me and I see you. There's a reason why I have your number and you have my number. There's a reason. And so when I call upon you, understand that I am using all the resources that God has put at my disposal. You too, use what God has brought you. Use what God has brought you. That's why sometimes somebody is in the hospital, then they will call me and I move to the hospital because it is a resource to them and God gave me to them for that time. So I have to respond. Use the resources that God brings into your life. Next to him was Shallum, the son of Haloesh, leader of half the district. He and his daughters made repairs. Why are you not using the daughters to make repairs? Why are the daughters not preaching, Pastor Abi? Why are the daughters not repairing the church? Why are the daughters not handling RCFs? Why are the daughters not running the ministry? Why are the daughters sitting down as if the daughters have nothing to do? The daughters were used to build. Use everybody, all hands on deck. Everybody that God has put in your life, there's a reason, there's a purpose. Don't trivialize it. Use that person. But don't disregard the person after you have used the person. Use the person. Use everyone. Daughters, use them. Use them. Sons, use them. Men, use them. Use everyone and everything available in the process that you are building. Use everybody. Use everybody. Use everybody. Use everybody. And it's become so bad. People have become so selfish that when you call upon them, that God brought you for a purpose, and I need you to deliver that purpose. Hey, I don't want to do it. How much will you pay me? A time is going to come that you will fall also on the other resource that God gave you, and that same response is what you will get. Stop asking for money for everything that somebody calls you for, so that God will also put people in your life that will not ask for money. Every time we call, come and clean the church, how much will they pay me? Come and carry concrete on Saturday, how much would they pay me? Would they give me kinky? Come and let's do this, how much is in it for me? A time is going to come, you call a pastor to come and pray for you. Send Momo before I come. Somebody told one brother who is around me a lot that I want pastor to come and pray in my shop, but I want to know how much he will charge. How much I will charge? If I charge you, can you pay? If I charge you, can you pay? You can't pay, so don't ask me how much I'll charge. I've never charged anybody before. Call me, whatever I have to do, I'll do. Because I am a resource that God has put in your life. I am in your life for a purpose. Use me to build your life. Use Pastor Mimi, use Pastor Abi, use Pastor Prosper. Use the pastors, use the people that God has placed in your life to build your life. Don't sit down and struggle and suffer alone, cry alone. Every time you are alone, you are suffering, you are crying because you are not putting all hands on deck on your situation. All hands must be on deck. All hands must be at work. All hands. All hands. There's everything in the church. This church, there's everything. You'll be surprised. You want people who sell medicine, you'll find some. You want people who build, you'll find some. You want people who carry concrete, you'll find some. You want people who do carpentry work, you'll find some. You want doctors, you'll find some. You want lab technicians, you'll find some. You want lawyers, you'll find some. Whatever you want, you'll find it. You want air-conditioned people, you'll find some. Whatever you want, you'll find it. You want tailors, you want seamstress, you want fashion designers, you will find it. You want intellectuals, you'll find it. God didn't put you here for nothing. And God didn't bring you here for nothing. Every experience, every resource, everything you go through in life, God has a purpose. God has never wasted an experience before. Don't waste your experiences. Don't waste your experience. God never wastes experiences. Use everyone. Use everyone. Everyone has a gift they can offer. And the more skills you deploy, the faster the work moves. And I said that there's no one that God places in your life for nothing. Even those that the devil planted, they were planted for a purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. I want you to know that God doesn't bring people into your life for nothing. And we know that all things, all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the smelly, the stinking, the beautiful, the not so beautiful, the one that I don't want to remember, the one that I don't want to see, the ones that I want to see, all things, all, not some, all things and all people, all situations, all encounters, all accidents, all things, yes, you have had an abortion, all things. Yeah, you had fornication, all things work together, all things. Well, you used to be a thief, all things. You are dating three men, you were dating three men, you have dated three men before. Yes, that doesn't disqualify you, all things. You have dated three women before, all things, not some things, all things, not only good things, not all good things, all proper things. All things that are nice, all things that you can recommend, all things that you can talk about. He says, for we know that all things, that means everything that you go through, everything that God allows you to go through, because anything you go through is God who allowed it. I said anything that you go through, if God didn't organize it, God saw it coming and he didn't say anything. It is either he arranged it, or he saw it, but he didn't say anything. Are you understanding me? So all things were things that he also saw, and he allowed it to happen. And there was a reason. All things work together for good. They work together for good. I want you to understand from today that everything that you have gone through, there's a reason why you have gone through it, and it must work for your good. It must work for your good. You had a bad marriage. There's a reason why you went through the bad marriage. It must work for your good. You have bad children. There's a reason why you had bad children. It must work for your good. You had a bad experience in life as you were growing up. Yes, you had it. It was good. It was a bad experience, but it must work for your good. Don't shut it off. As for this thing, I don't want to remember again, because somebody will come into your life that needs to be blessed with that thing. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? Why does he comfort us? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So he comforts us so that we can comfort others. He gives us the experience so that we can help others. He allows it to happen so that when it happens to somebody, you'll be there to stand for the person. Are you understanding me? There is a thing that God allows into your life, and sometimes it's not because of you, but it's because of somebody you'll be meeting in 10 years' time. You must go through that experience so that when in 10 years' time you meet that person, you'll be able to help that sister or that brother who is going mad because of that experience that they are having. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Don't ever trivialize anything that God brings into your life. Everything must be used to build. Everything must be used to help you. Everything must be used to support you. Everything must be used in the very near future or in your present life. Use it for your good. Use it for your good. Don't ever trivialize any experience that you go through, any encounter. I'm not saying that allow yourself to go through issues. No, don't allow yourself to go through issues. But when it happens, if it happens, when it happens to you, don't kill yourself. Is it not you, but it's who? Or if it's not you, who should it be? God knew that you could handle it. That's why he allowed you to see it. But more so, the reason why you are seeing it is so that very soon he is going to send somebody to your life that will need to be encouraged. He's going to send somebody to your life that you need to pray for. He's going to send somebody into your life that you need to build up. When I started talking to you about the building that I built, that was not presentable, that was not nice, were you not encouraged? Were you not encouraged? Did you not feel that, if he did it, then I can do it? When I spoke to you some time ago about the fact that every morning I used to borrow 1 gallon of fuel, and when I go to town and I don't get money, I don't come back home till it's late, were you not encouraged? God took me through that so that today I can talk to you and tell you that your situation is not different. It's going to get better. It's going to get nicer. It's going to get more beautiful. Your life may be going through some hassle now, but I came to tell you that your hand must get to work, and everybody's hand and everybody's experience and anything that you have gone through, it will work for your good. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't run away. Don't say that it is over, because we are just beginning. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God? So when you go through an issue, it is probably so that God can comfort you. So that next time when your friend goes through it, you'll be able to comfort the person. I know pastors and pastors' wives who went through miscarriages. Their first child, they miscarried. And the second child, twins. The third child, twins. Fourth child, twins. Six in three. But they had a miscarriage once or twice. Now such people, when people come to their church and then they miscarry, they are not shaken. It's nothing new. It's nothing wild. It doesn't make them cry. They are able to encourage. They are able to hold your hand and encourage you to the point where you realize that God has a reason for this. God has a reason for this. And whatever it is that you are going through now, I came to encourage you. I came to speak to you. I came to talk to you that God has a reason for whatever you are going through. And there's a purpose to whichever you are going through. I can tell you that very soon, God is going to put laughter in your mouth after you have gone through this storm. But hold on to the experience. Hold on to the pain. Hold on to whatever you are going through, because God is going to use it to bring glory to His name. He will get the glory out of it. He has never wasted an experience before. You will preach with your experience. You will counsel with your experience. You will build people's lives with your experience. You will make people happy with your experience. You will hug people with your experience. You will cry with people with your experience. People will become stronger after they have left your presence because of your experience. All hands on deck. Every experience you have had, put it on board. Don't say that this one, what I went through. Hey. I told you, my experience of poverty was what put me away. It made me run from poverty. It put hard work inside my heart. What I experienced with poverty. Hey! Oh, here, me who you know? Me, Johnny. Emma, hey. But some people to see that one and they throw in the towel. My father was poor. My grandfather was poor. My great-grandfather was poor. My uncles are poor. There's nothing much I can do to myself. But that's not my story. Me, when I saw that poverty was chasing me, I said, huh? I am going to use this pain of my son looking at my face and telling me that, Abba. You know, my son couldn't tell me that you are an irresponsible father. He was too young to know that it is irresponsibility that will make you run out of fuel every day. I mean, can't you, if you can't buy the fuel, park the car and take trotro. What's wrong with you? It's irresponsibility. But he couldn't say that to me. But when I heard that thing that he said, that have we run out of fuel again today too? I said, this nonsense, I will not listen to it again. My son cannot grow up and ask me such a question. Now he's asking me, have we run out of fuel again? Very soon he'll ask me that. Are we homeless again? You can't pay the rent again. Did we force you to give birth to us? Why are you bringing us to the world and worrying us like this? I was going to hear that from my son one day. So I said that, no way. This experience must work for me. Which experience is working for you? Which experience is working for you? All hands on deck. Women on deck. Daughters on deck. Sons on deck. Perfumers on deck. Goldsmiths on deck. Everybody, every gift, every talent. Don't build without using all the talents. Don't say, as for me, I wouldn't use all my time. I'll just use small. Use everything. Use everything. Use everything. Use all your energy. Use, if you have to stop sleeping for 6 months, stop sleeping for 6 months to build your life. If you have to take a second job, take a second job. Put everything on the line. Are you in the church? So Nehemiah could have said that goldsmiths are not for wall construction or women are too tender. But he overlooked weaknesses, overlooked tenderness, and used everyone and everybody available. As long as they are available, they can be packed. Verse 23. Go to verse 23. Let me finish. Are you enjoying the message? Are you being blessed? Which is very important for me. Verse 23. Nehemiah 3. After him, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs opposite their house. Not their house. They made repairs opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs by his house. Opposite by his house. Opposite. Continue, verse 24. After him, Binui, the son of Henadad, repaired another section from the house of Azariah to the buttress, even as far as the corner. Then 25. Palal, the son of Uzai, made repairs opposite the buttress and on the tower which projects from the king's upper house. That was by the court of the prison. After him, Pedah, the son of Parosh, made repairs. What am I saying here? What I'm saying is that help somebody else to build their life. Read verse 23 again. You see what I'm talking about. Verse 23. They were not concentrating on. After him, Benjamin has made repairs opposite their house. No, they were not concentrating only on their house. After that, they made repairs opposite their house. The son of Ananiah made repairs by his house. By his house. Opposite and by his house, not the house itself. Help somebody to build their life. Help somebody. Selfish people usually end up hurting themselves. Decide to be selfless and helpful. In helping someone, you always end up helping yourself. I have seen it over and over again. When you help somebody and you realize that you are helping yourself. Help somebody, you see that you help yourself. Let someone benefit from your experience. Let someone benefit from your expertise. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 18. I want to show you something here. Let's say your nose is itching you. When your nose is itching you, and you use your finger to scratch your nose, the comfort that comes from scratching your nose, is it only the benefit of your nose or the whole body benefits? The whole body. When your nose is blocked, your whole body, meanwhile, it's just the nose. Or your eye is paining you. Your whole, it's like everything is going bad around you, but it's just your eye. Stop being selfish and think about others. We are one body. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Continue. But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Many members, one body. Many people, one body. Continue. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Can your eye say to the hand? Or can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of you? That your eye, one day your eye gets up in the morning and begins to talk. Even that I will run away, first of all. If my eye begins to talk, there will be a problem in the house. You know, everybody will leave me. But when your eye begins to even talk and says that, I have no need of your hand, I have no need of your leg, I want to go out by myself. When you see an eye, Pastor Abi, you see an eye rolling alone on the stage, holding a microphone, what would you do? You know, that's the problem that we have. We like to be lone rangers. I am solving my own problem, forgetting that as you solve your problem, if you don't help the other person, her problem or his problem will come and hit you. Let me give you a typical example. Say, you may sit down. Let me give you a typical example. If your next door neighbor is a juju man, And he has daughters. And you are a pastor. And your sons. Do you know that there's a possibility that one day you become a father-in-law to a juju man's daughter? No, do you understand what I'm saying? No, because research has proved that most of the time people marry their neighbors. So if you are not careful, and your next door neighbor, and you decide that, me, I won't mind them. They should go to hell. They should serve their gods and go to hell. As for me and my children, by the time you realize that, one of your daughters has entered Papa Moshi's house, has been connected over the wall, Wi-Fi. And here we are, knocking. What is happening? My son has seen your daughter and he wants to marry your daughter. Your son. What does he do? He's also a juju man just like me. Huh? Your son is a juju man coming to marry my daughter. Akosua, do you know him? Yes, daddy. Huh? You know him as well? Daddy, I love him. No, I am telling you something serious, but you'll be smiling. When you are helping somebody, you may never know that you are helping yourself. When you see that the juju man's children are not going to school, help them to go to school. I remember when we moved to an area, when we were in this area, I was very nice, especially my wife. Me, I'm not that very nice, but my wife was a very nice person to the people. Anytime she's coming out, she will greet, she will do every nice things, nice, greet them, make them happy, send them this, send them that. There was a day that we were not in the house, some people came to the house, they were coming to carry wood. They said, no way, nobody is taking wood from this house because pastor didn't tell us that anybody will come for wood. They don't live in my household, they are just neighbors, they are opposite the house. So nobody will come, the house didn't have a gate, but I have employed security men already. Are you understanding me? I never spoke to them that I want them to watch my house. Just being nice every day. Oh, mommy, I just send BBI, okay. Oh, Jiwe Faman Kolan, why? Just helping somebody. I ended up helping myself. Just helping somebody, you end up helping yourself. So don't be too selfish. Don't think about yourself alone. We are rebuilding. The next thing you must be looking at is helping somebody. Look at somebody and build the person's life. Help somebody. Help somebody. It's not everybody who has the things that you have. Yes, the storm is over for all of us, but some people, their house is scattered. Yours, at least half of the house is standing. Someone, their school, their education is gone. You, at least you have gone halfway. Help somebody. Because the person you are helping is probably the one that will come and marry your child, or the one that will come and take care of you. I have seen people who have helped children who came to live with them. They came, a house help who came to live with a family. The mother or the father took care of this house help so well that when they grew up and the children of the family left and never turned back to look at the parents, it was the house help who took care of the parents. When the man was about to die, it was the house help and her children who were there taking care of the old man. His own children were not there. Stop thinking that they are not my blood, so I won't help them. He's not my child, so they should go to hell. I'll think about only my child. Cross over and help somebody. You may be helping yourself. I said cross over and help somebody. You may be helping yourself. You may be helping yourself. Adopt somebody's child. You may be helping yourself. Go and carry somebody's child. You may be helping yourself. Go and give somebody good advice. You may be helping yourself. Verse 22. I'm finishing in 5 minutes. Then you go home. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. They are necessary. They are weaker, but they are necessary. 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. I don't have the time to go into this, but understand this for once. Cross over and help somebody. Cross over and help somebody. Cross over and help somebody. Don't just be myself, selfish myself, me alone. You know, if I'm happy, I'm fine. To hell with everybody else. If I'm happy, if I am happy, it's okay. Ah, neninje, and Sunday I am asking. And neninje onko shipo. Really? And onko where? It's their own problem. Wow. Is that how you think? That boy that you could have helped to go to school that you didn't help is the one that has become the armed robber who is attacking your household. You didn't know. That next door neighbor, who anytime you are taking your children to school, he will stand by the road and wave and will be looking at you and thinking that, that person is the one that probably has become the armed robber robbing your house. Or that person is the one that God has lifted up, and your children that you took to school, God didn't really mind them much. And now they have come back and they're on the job market looking for a job because they went to school and they can't create anything. They can only work for people. And that boy who was standing by the roadside has managed to use his hand to build something. And that your children that were always in air-conditioned car are the ones that need help now. Help somebody. Help somebody. You can never tell. You can never tell. 5 years' time, you don't know. 10 years' time, you don't know. Help somebody. Help somebody. Yesterday, I was sitting in the house. I received a phone call. Then I was telling my wife, this lady really helped us when we're coming up. The next meeting we have with him, I want to bless her. Because I remember her. That this lady really helped us. I needed a loan to start something. She gave me $200 years ago. When I was giving her back the money, she said, I won't take it. She said, I won't take it. Called me yesterday, we spoke. After we spoke, I told my wife that the next meeting we have with this baby, we must bless her. Are you understanding me? She didn't know that the money that she was giving me years ago was going to multiply back to her in the next couple of weeks. Never knew. But she just helped. Who are you helping? Whose life are you touching? Which seeds are you sowing? And who are you blessing? Finally, go back to verse 1. Let me finish there. Verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 3. Pastor Amy, please get ready to take over. I'm done. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built the sheep gate. They hadn't finished building the wall. They only built the gate. And they consecrated it. What am I saying? Start celebrating your little victories. Start celebrating. Just don't wait till we finish building the wall. Don't wait till you finish building your house. Don't wait till something big happens before you celebrate your victory. He says that He built the sheep gate. They consecrated and hung its walls. They built as far as the Tower of the 100, consecrated it, then as far as the tower. So every little that they did, they consecrated. Every little they did, they consecrated. Every little you do, celebrate it. Celebrate your victory. Celebrate your victory or progress on the journey. Every little progress you make, celebrate it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. You are never getting a job. You are never working. Then suddenly you got a job and you're able to work for 2 weeks. Thank God that, Father, you gave me a job for 2 weeks. I am believing you for more. Are you understanding me? Celebrate the little victories, the little progress that you make. Little progress. Celebrate it. Thank God for it. Consecrate it to God. Say something about it to God. Don't wait till it becomes. Don't wait. Oh, you bought a quarter plot. Thank God. It's progress. It's progress. I bought 100 blocks. Thank God. 100 pieces of blocks. Thank God. It is progress. I bought three pieces of iron rods. Thank God. It is progress. I am progressing. I am progressing. Celebrate your victory. Celebrate your victory. I've been able to buy one pair of shoes. Celebrate your victory. Look, as you celebrate it, you get more energy to do. You get more energy to do. But every time, we only cry over the little things that we lose. We cry over the little things that we lose. We never celebrated the little victories. When was the last time you celebrated the fact that you were able to wake up in the morning? I woke up in the morning. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to wear. But I've been able to wake up in the morning. Let me celebrate the God that woke me up in the morning. You must always celebrate your little victory. Because that victory, somebody does not have it. Somebody hasn't seen it. Stop crying all the time. Nehemiah came crying. Nehemiah came in pain. Nehemiah came as sorrowing. But when he built the first thing, he celebrated. He consecrated it and said, God, you have helped me with this one. I give it into your hands. Then we move to the next. He built another part of it. He said, God, thank you for this one. It's in your hands. When are you going to start celebrating your little victory, your little progress, your little movement, the little things that God does for you? Celebrate it. Celebrate it. When you start celebrating your little small victories, you stop crying too much. Your complaints will go down. Just a little. Just a little. Something small happened. Celebrate it. The whole week, my husband has not insulted me. Celebrate it. The whole week, my boss never got angry with me. Celebrate it. The whole week I've gone to work back and forth and I had no accident. Celebrate it. The whole week I went to sell and people bought. Celebrate it. Celebrate just the little ones. I'm not looking for anything big. I'm not looking for anything big. Abigail, don't wait for anything big. That I want it to be very big before I give a testimony. I want it to be very big before I go to the presence of God and thank Him. I want to get my graduation. I want to get my certificate. I want to. You passed your maths exams, celebrated. You passed your English exam, celebrated. You passed your economics exam, celebrated. You passed your music exam, celebrated. You passed a little test, celebrated. Celebrate every little victory, every little progress, every little move that you make. Celebrate it. Enough of the tears. Every time we see you, it is one pain after the other. When will you celebrate? When will you celebrate? But when you start celebrating the little things, it grows and it gives you energy to go for the extra. It gives you energy. Hey, we are here. Then let's make a progress. We are here. I'm sure this one too will work. Once this one has worked, this one will work. Let's acknowledge the victories. Let's acknowledge the victories. And stop acknowledging only the pain, only the problems, only the issues, only the things that didn't go well, only the expectation that you had that didn't come to pass. Those are the things we are always acknowledging. And every time, we cannot say thank you. We cannot say thank you. We cannot celebrate. Every time you are down, every time you are sorrowful, every time you are depressed, has God not done anything for you? Hasn't anything good happened in your life? Yes, we know that things have been difficult, but at least one or two things have worked. Yeah, we know that you had an accident. We know that there was a miscarriage. We know that things didn't go well. We know that your business didn't go so well, but you have not been arrested. Some people, their businesses were collapsed and they were arrested. My church, this church, our members have not come back. Not all of them have come back. Most of them are still on holiday. But there are some churches, nobody came back. There are some churches, they were in a classroom and they have been closed that you cannot have a service again. I must celebrate it. We must stop crying that where are all our people and begin to celebrate the people that God has brought back. The people that God has returned. So the rest will also come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Stop crying. Stop crying. Celebrate your victories. Celebrate every step. Celebrate everything God does for you. And as you celebrate, more will happen. Put your hands together and let's thank God.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Emmanuel Methel. We hope you were blessed by the message. Worship with us at the Rohi Church in Community 22, Tema. Every Sunday from 7:30 to 9:30 for the tree service and 10:30 to 12:30 for the English service. We have Bible studies from 9:45 to 10:30 a.m. Tuesday empowerment service is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Download the Rohi Church app on Google Play and App Store for more life-transforming messages. Follow Pastor Emmanuel Methel and the Rohi Church on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Call us on 0204-336-002 for counseling and inquiry. Rohi Church, loving God, making disciples, and invading globally. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Hot Jobs Africa Limited, Ghana's number one HR firm. Looking for quality staff? Looking for a job? Contact us on 0204-336-009. Think HR, think Hot Jobs Africa.